welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast, where we talk about the things in pop culture that matter and ask the question, but why though? Today's episode is all about moon prism power, moon tiara magic, and a little bit of Jupiter Thunderclash. That's right, it is Sailor Moon Day here, But Why Though, the podcast, and as always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
How you doing?
So, I want to jump right into it, because I'm pretty hyped right now. What do you guys know about Sailor Moon?
Well, I don't know much about Sailor Moon. I've seen about 3 episodes, maybe about 20 years ago, when they first, I guess, came to the U.S. I know there's a bunch of girls from Japan that save the world and fight crime. I'm pretty much going to be the Chuck Nice of this episode. For those of you who don't know who Chuck Nice is, he basically a comedian who stars with Neil deGrasse Tyson on Star Talk.
And just interjects every now and then?
Yes. Not a physicist or a scientist.
And or a Sailor Moonist?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what about you, Adrian?
So for those who listened to the Dragon Ball Z episode, Toonami basically ran my evenings for most of my adolescence. So I've seen a few episodes now and again. It wasn't something that I was super into just because, I mean, I just wasn't really the demographic for it. But I do know, like, the premise of the show. You know, my significant other, Stefani, loves Sailor Moon. There's a huge Sailor Moon tapestry sitting in my office. So I have some connection, and I'm sorry to learn just a little bit more in depth about it. And it's also, like, reading into it, I was like, well, I didn't know these girls were in middle school. So it makes me, I guess I was little then, I guess, so it doesn't really matter. But I was like, whoa, these girls look attractive.
That is definitely true. I was in love with Darien, which I kind of want to, Darien is the like tuxedo mask, the like main guy in the show, pretty much the only one that's there repeatedly, because the cast itself is mostly women, or I guess girls, actually, like you pointed out, they're in middle school. But yeah, I have been obsessed with Sailor Moon for a really long time. I guess actually since it came out. And I talked about it a little bit on the DBZ episode. It was my gateway. I think that there are, we've kind of established that the two gateway animes were either Dragon Ball Z or Sailor Moon. And DBZ was the only show that could beat out Sailor Moon on Toonami. So there you go, Adrian.
Hey, it's a good show. It's just tough because, you know, the demographics for the shows are just different. You know, like when you're marketing to young girls who might not think that anime and like action stuff is like for them because of, you know, societal reasons, it's kind of hard for that show to beat out something like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And actually, so I looked up a lot of the show list, and I think this was the only shoujo, the only shoujo show on Toonami's lineup. And we talked about it on the DBZ episode. That was episode 16. Y'all should check it out. And shoujo is the opposite of shounen. Shoujo is aimed at teenage women or teenage girls. I keep saying women, yeah. Teenage girls, literally, and it literally means young women in Japanese. It covers many subjects, variety in narrative styles, from historical drama to science fiction, and it often has a lot of romance and emotions in it. However, shoujo doesn't only restrain itself to one genre, but it's rather just the target demographic, and shoujo is used for to talk about manga as well as the animes that we all know and love. But I do want to kind of like drop a little disclaimer here. I will probably be switching back and forth between their Japanese and English names. Because much like Adrian not being able to watch DBZ in sub, I just cannot refer to any of these characters by their Japanese names.
So. Oh, see, that's cool. I didn't even know they had different names. I thought they were just like, all right, see, look, learning already.
Yep. They changed everything when they brought it to the U.S. As you said a little bit in the DBZ show, that's what happens. Yeah. Completely different audiences in Japan versus here. But yeah, I guess since you all aren't too big of watchers, I'll say who my favorite character was for those of you in podcast land. My favorite character was always Lita, Sailor Jupiter, because she was a martial artist, a soccer player, and a really good cook. she was like the one that I most identified with.
Who was the one?
So were they named after all the planets?
Yes, it was. It's a mixture of astronomy, geology, and
those are two vastly different things.
Well, no. So they're two vastly different things because the group that's named after geology is the bad group in the first story arc. So there's like Zoisite and like all these things. They're named after rocks, and they're their antagonists because they're planet based and they're planet based.
Even
in
anime,
way.
Nobody liked geology.
Who is the the one with black hair with the red outfit?
Ray.
Which planet was she?
Sailor Mars.
Yeah, I like Sailor Mars.
She's as did most boys.
Yeah, well, she's red and she's looks like the most attractive one when I was that young. So,
well, no, she was meant to be the most attractive one.
Oh, was she? So. Well, there you go. See,
there
look.
You
there
go.
There was a reason. They knew what they were doing.
Marketing.
When they made this. Yeah.
All about that marketing.
So I was going to back up 1 second because we talked. Can you explain, I guess, the manga, the shoujo, a little more?
Shoujo?
Yeah, the shoujo.
Okay. Well, like, what do you mean?
So you said it. I guess it's aimed at teenage female readership, but I mean, it's not really a genre. What exactly?
Yeah. So the way it works. Is shonen. So when manga is published in Japan, the majority of the time they're not published in volumes first. They're published as monthly issues. So okay. Think of like a Wizard World comics book that has a whole bunch of little pieces in it every month. So and the way those are grouped, you'll have like Shonen Jump, which just has all of the action-based manga for young male readers, and you have shoujo, and I can't think of the names for the shoujo manga books, but and it's nothing but those things that are aimed at young women.
Okay.
So it's a way of picking your demographic and kind of showing them what they like, or what the market says they should like. And as times progress and as identities have changed and, you know, a lot of overlap, Sailor Moon does this as well because it moves away from, like, the romance narrative not entirely, but it focuses more on action sequences and something that you find in shonen versus a lot of the shoujo tropes. But it's basically just used to market books to a target demographic. So like it's the assumption that a young girl who wants to read about other teenage girls, they want to read about emotions and romance in a historical setting versus a 5 day long fight between Goku and somebody.
All right, I just want a little better clarification there.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not genre constrictive in a way. There's still certain points to it, and that is going to go into the history, actually. So I want to talk a little bit about the creator of Sailor Moon, Naoko Takeuchi. And she actually graduated from the University of Pharmacy, and she received her degree in chemistry and was a licensed pharmacist. And a lot of the reasons that she was all these things before she was a manga writer was because manga is really a male-dominated field in Japan. And that's where a lot of the greats are men. Think about Miyazaki and the entire Studio Ghibli team. The well-known names there are all men, and all of the people they worked under were men. And so she had a long journey getting into manga. And one of the reasons that she isn't entirely satisfied with the Sailor Moon series, both as a show and as a manga, is she wasn't allowed to do a lot of the things. So initially she wanted to kill off all the Sailor Scouts. You can't do that in shoujo. You still have to have this happy ending. And so she could have a big battle, but they couldn't die. So where it doesn't restrict genre, it does restrict certain things you can do. So it's a little weird. It's a completely different genre structure than we're used to when we classify things in the US, I would say. So she began working on in manga in 1986, and she ended up only shooting to fame after Sailor Moon became an instant hit in 1991. And Sailor Moon itself, here's a little breakdown of what happens in both the manga and the anime. So Sailor Moon as a series takes place in Minato, Tokyo, and it follows a middle student named Usagi Tsuchinko. And I'm going to call her Serena because that's what I grew up learning her, as. And she befriends a black talking cat with, a crescent moon on her forehead. And she ends up getting a magical brooch, and this brooch makes her into Sailor Moon, a soldier who's destined to save Earth. Luna and Usagi, Serena, assemble a team of fellow Sailor Scouts. They're also known as Guardians and Soldiers, depending what translations you're working from, to find the princess and the silver crystal. They encounter Amy, who is the studious one, and she's Sailor Mercury. Rei Hino, who's a shrine maiden, she's also quick to anger, which is why she's Sailor Mars, and her element is fire. Mercury is water. Makoto Kino is
why
a trans.
Is she water?
Huh? I was thinking the same thing.
I don't know.
Mercury's the closest planet to the sun.
Hey, yeah, you just triggered Matt's science brain into like...
Hey, she was a chemist, not an astrophysicist or astronomer.
Okay.
I don't know why she's water.
It's a show for kids.
She is an awesome bubble power. Oh, the science guy.
Yeah, keep going.
And then you have Makoto Kino, or Lita, a tall transfer student who awakens as Sailor Jupiter, and Minako, or Mina, who is a young aspiring idol who awakens as Sailor Venus, accompanied by her talking feline companion Artemis, and Mina is actually second in charge most of the time. Additionally, they encounter Mamoru Chiba, also known as Darien, and I tried to do Serena's voice, that really didn't work, kind of. And he's a high school student who assists them as Tuxedo Mask, and he's also one of the only male characters who shows up repeatedly across the seasons, and he is the love interest for Serena.
Question.
Yes.
You keep saying awaken. What does that mean? Is it like when they find, like in Power Rangers, when they find their morphers and
exactly.
they become Power Rangers? Okay.
That is exactly what it's like. And a lot of the, so Super Sentai in Japan, which launched Power Rangers, they kind of feed off of each other narrative-wise from the Sailor Guardians and Super Sentai.
Cool.
So, and I'll get a little bit into that in the end, because much like DBZ revolutionized some shonen stuff, Sailor Moon revamped an entire genre within shoujo. So in the manga itself, which is where everything always starts with anime for the most part, the manga was written and illustrated by Naoko Takeuchi, and it was serialized in a monthly manga anthology called Nakayoshi from December 28th, 1991 to February 3rd, 1997. The side stories were serialized simultaneously in Run Run, another of Kodansha's manga magazines, and these are the magazines, Matt, that I was talking about, where they package them into one thing to go with other stories.
Okay.
And then the 52 individual chapters were published as in 18-book tankobon volumes, and those are kind of like the stuff you'll see on my shelf where you have manga volumes, like volume 1, volume 2, volume 3 type thing, where they break the story up into arcs and publish them that way.
I can't even pronounce half these words.
Think trade volumes in comics.
Okay.
So those were released in 1982. Those were released from 1982 to 1987. And the Sailor Moon manga was initially licensed for an English release by Mix. And this is what would later become Tokyo Pop in North America. But Tokyo Pop eventually ended up losing its license in 2015. And that is, so those are actually any Tokyo Pop Sailor Moon manga that you have, hold on to it. It is out of print now. Or sell it. It's completely up to you. Who am I to tell you what to do with your life? So this brings us into the anime. And Takeuchi redeveloped Sailor Moon from the manga series, which was running in the manga magazines, and it was called Codename Sailor V. And this is where it gets a little tricky. So Sailor V was published, and she ends up developing a show making Sailor Venus, or Codename Sailor V, just as a team member versus the actual star of the anime. And so what happens here is that the anime is kind of like, it pays homage to the fact that Sailor Moon as it exists now first existed as Sailor V. And so Mina, Sailor Venus, ends up entering the show as this already famous, like, TV character who has her own video game, and Sailor Moon is, like, super obsessed with playing that video game. And it all just kind of rough. It's, like, a little meta.
It's, like, a little Inception. Bit. Is the anime running? Because I know you said that they redeveloped it. So the anime was not running at the same time she was, like, publishing it. Yeah, so this is where
things get a little tricky for me in my research. It was running concurrently with the manga, but all of this is, like, a rejiggering of Codename Sailor V, if that makes sense. So Sailor V comes first, and then comes the rejiggering of it in Sailor Moon, and then the manga, if that makes sense. In the manga and the anime. So
what's run concurrently is this, like, revamped version of Sailor Moon. So it's, like, the same.
Exactly. Same stuff. So it's just kind of like how DBZ ran concurrently for the most part. Only this has its origin in, like, a different manga volume type thing. Yeah. It was really confusing, actually, because the timelines are really weird and everything's so close together, and a lot of them were just years. So it's like, this was 1991 and this was 1991. Well, which came first?
Are a lot of animes like this?
Like, come off of, like, a small idea into something bigger?
Well, I'm assuming that. But I'm talking about, like, this, I guess, concurrent, like, a manga and...
Yeah, so the majority of them do run... the manga's out for maybe a few months, and most of the time it'll get picked up and then they run concurrently. And so that lets you know what's going to happen in the anime for the most part. And that's also how you can tell a show's about to end. So I think, like, Bleach ended its manga run, like, I think maybe, like, a season before the anime ended up ending.
Okay.
And it just depends on how long the anime is and how frequently they're written.
And this is why we have
filler. This is why we have filler. which I did rewatch Sailor Moon, and damn it, I can't talk as much crap as I want to about Dragon Ball Z because there is filler in Sailor Moon.
Yeah, 40-50%. But I mean, it kind of goes just with what was going on when the time the anime was coming out. You can't really avoid it. You kind of have to do something to wait for stuff to be revamped and stuff. So yeah, it's totally
the manga doesn't publish for 2 months, they need to find something to do with the anime story for it. So all of this goes down to Takeuchi wanted to make a theme about outer space, and she ended up discussing it with her editor, and he said, we should put them in Sailor Fuko, which, if you don't know what Sailor Fuko is, do you all want to guess what it is?
No.
not gonna try. Guess. Mine just goes completely other direction.
Because the school, the schoolgirl outfit is like the sailor type thing. So he was the one who came up with that. Not surprising. And so when Codename Sailor V was proposed for an adaptation into an anime by Toei Animation, Takeuchi redeveloped the concept of Sailor Venus and made her become a member of the team. So Sailor Moon, as it runs, is broken up into different arcs. So instead of just having seasons, like season 1, 2, 3, 4, they break them into completely different categories. All in all, there's 200 episodes. They're also known as Sailor Senshi, Beautiful Sailor Guardian, Sailor Soldiers. It really just depends on what translations you're looking at. And you have Sailor Moon, which is the first season that pretty much everybody's familiar with. And in this arc, the group battles the Dark Kingdom, which is led by Queen Beryl, a team of generals, the Four Kings of Heaven, attempt to find the Silver Crystal and free the imprisoned evil entity called Queen Maitreya. Long story short, the girls end up killing the Four Kings of Heaven, only to realize that they were actually their lovers in a past life. And they all come to the realization that Sailor Moon, Usagi, Serena is actually Princess Serenity, and that Mamoru, Darien is actually Prince Endymion, and they're all reincarnations of this mythical moon kingdom, which was very real, and now they have to save the world.
Is this like Asgard?
Kind of, actually. I have never thought of it being... I've never thought of it being like the nine realms. But it kind of sort of is.
At one time we had nine planets.
And then Pluto?
It's no longer a planet.
Okay. Well, Pluto is a Sailor Scout, so...
They probably got fired.
No. Oh. She doesn't. She's a badass. But, yeah, so this is the storyline that most people are familiar with, because in the U.S., you only get the first two seasons in dubbed. So this is the stuff that's on Toonami, and the second season is known as Sailor Moon R. And this run... Oh, sorry. So the first season of Sailor Moon runs from 92 to 93. Sailor Moon R, which is the second season... It runs from 93 to 94, and this is where you get Chibiusa, or Little Usagi. And she's the tiny little girl with pink hair that has the Sailor Moon buns, but, like, pink. And the main antagonists here are the Black Moon Gang and Wiseman, who has this, like, really
So weird... how is little pink hair girl related to the moons? Did they find her on the street?
I want to point out now, if you've never watched Sailor Moon, the story is just a little bit convoluted and a little confusing. So,
obviously,
Little Sailor Moon Girl, which we'll call Chibiusa Little Sailor Moon Girl, or Rini,
okay.
She is actually Sailor Moon's daughter with Darien from the future. And she ends up coming back because Wise Man ends up pretty much killing everybody in Crystal Tokyo.
So a 14-year-old, less than 14-year-old girl
probably.
Now is talking, hanging out with her future daughter for when she's older.
And they don't know any of this until like the last four episodes.
That's
and there's some like, crazy they're, stuff in the early 90s.
And there are time gates, and that's how they travel with the key, and Sailor Pluto guards the time gates.
Oh, speaking of Sailor Pluto, the International Astronomical Union reclassified Pluto as a planet in April, just so we don't get added.
They're going to at you, scientists.
And NASA on their website classifies it as a dwarf planet again. So technically still a planet.
Still a planet.
Thanks, NASA.
All those people that whine and cry will be dead eventually, and it'll go back to not being a planet.
Thanks, Matt. Let's move on, shall we? Anyway, so they fight the Black Moon Gang and Wiseman, and the reason I bring up Wiseman is because he has this... You'll find that almost every main antagonist has some weird obsession with Serena. And his is that he wants to marry her and love her because he, like, she looked at him at one point, and it's really weird, and he kills a lot of people. Anyway, and I skipped something. Guys, I'm gonna be honest. The history in the seasons is really weird, but I think the most important thing is that it was only supposed to be one season. That's one of the reasons why it gets so convoluted. So Takeuchi actually did not come up with the idea of a future daughter. That was actually her editor who came up with that because she wanted it to end at season one. And like I said before, she wanted them all to die.
So she started in 86, gets a hit in 91. If you work that hard... Why did you want it to end so badly.
So, like, for her, she wanted to end it because that's how she saw her story ending. So, like, the first season, and one of the reasons that most of the people only know the first season is because it's actually really, it's really good. It's a really good show. Not that the other seasons aren't, but it's a really concise story. It's its own thing separate from everything else. And she wanted to kill them off because they would be sacrificing themselves for the planet. She wanted them to be, as Earth's guardians, ready to do that. And in the end of season one, they do all die, but then they're resurrected. So she wanted it to end, but because of how popular it was, that's why it ends up just going and going and going.
See, this is why I quit watching Digimon after season one.
I mean, and it's something that happens a lot. Like, and it happens here in the States too. Like, some people just want their work to be what they remember it or what they want it to be, and popularity keeps it from doing that. So moving right along, the third season is Sailor Moon S, and it runs from 94 to 95. This revolves around the Death Busters, and this is important because some of these episodes get packaged in with season two, and this is where you get Sailor Neptune, Sailor Uranus, and Sailor Pluto's incarnations in the story. And Sailor Neptune and Sailor Uranus are important because they are a representation of a same-sex couple, which you don't get a lot of in the 90s, other than Buffy, which I actually think that happened in 2000. So yeah, you don't get a lot of it. After that, in 95 to 96, you get Sailor Moon Super S, and this is where they fight against the Dead Moon Circus and Queen Nehelenia. And this is at the end of this, and the big thing here is they end up awakening these sailor soldiers known as the Sailor Quartet that are supposed to be little Sailor Moon's guardians in the future. And they end up being awakened before their time. And then it wraps up with Sailor Moon, Sailor Stars from 96 to 97. And in this final arc, they end up having, like, big showdowns. And ultimately, it ends with Darien and Serena getting married 6 years after it caps. And then there are three supplemental movies. Sailor Moon R, the movie, Sailor Moon S, the movie, and Sailor Moon Super S, the movie.
Do you have a reason why they're called R, S, and Super S?
I should have looked it up, but I'm not sure.
I mean, that's fine. It just seems a little weird.
Yeah, I know that, like, Sailor Stars has to do with the fact that the antagonists that they end up dealing with have names like Galactica and Galaxia and all that stuff. But so far as the other ones, I'm not too sure. Guys, if you know out there in podcast land, please at me and let me know if there are some distinctions. So all this is happening in Japan, and as always, we get stuff late. So in 1995, DIC won the rights to Sailor Moon in North America, and it bought the series as a 65 episode package with 7 episodes cut for unknown reasons. And the series actually did so poorly in this syndication after the run had completed that DIC dropped the show and made no effort to bring the series back to even end the second season. And this is actually what I remember. So my first Sailor Moon experience was not Toonami. It was this. And I spent at least 30, 45 minutes trying to find out what channel it aired on, and I couldn't. But the one thing that I really remember was in the commercials, they brought on an American actress, Tia Broush, to play Sailor Moon. And she had this really, really awful wig, and she would reenact the Sailor Says, which is these, like, PSA after the episode segments. And she would, like, dish out device and harsh truths, or she'll be like, I've really gotten myself into trouble now, guys. And there's a compilation of it that I will link in the show notes. And rewatching it now, it is really weird. And that wig is really bad. But this is what I remember, and it didn't do too well. So after this, Toonami ends up bringing it back in April of 1998. It gained the syndication rights for Sailor Moon R, and it debuted on June 1st. The final 17 episodes of Sailor Moon are premiered, and they were announced as the Sailor Moon, the Lost Episodes. And it remained syndicated on Toonami until July of 2002, because Cartoon Network ended up losing all of its broadcasting rights. Following its premiere, Sailor Moon became the highest rated series on Toonami until Dragon Ball Z came in the same year in December and smashed the numbers. So...
Yeah, it's tough. Like, it just had the unfortunate, you know, timing of running against Dragon Ball Z. Like, takes nothing away from how great Sailor Moon is. It just happened to go against Dragon Ball Z.
Well, yeah, like, and the worst time. Too, is it's a lineup that, if you're really into the emotional relationships packaged in a certain way, not that DBZ doesn't have them, but packaged in a certain way, like Sailor Moon, or you are that targeted audience, you might, like you said earlier, you might not sit around for Dragon Ball Z or some of the other shows, because this was one of the only shoujos, if not the only one, that I could find in their lineup. So it was something different, but the action made it fit.
Yep.
So were these, like, I guess, did you guys say, dubbed or non?
Yeah, they were all dubbed.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, all done.
And they were also heavily, heavily edited. So when I think it was like my first year of college, I ended up rewatching all of them on some anime streaming website. Don't even remember what it was. It was not like I remember it at all. Because they cut out a lot of the sexual innuendos. The same-sex relationship was highly edited in the US versions to make it seem like it was just friendship. Although if you're older and watching some of those back now, you can't edit that out because it takes out a huge part of the story and they couldn't erase it. But yeah, there are a lot of differences from the way it ran here versus what Japan got. But it was all dubbed.
Yeah, they're much more okay with middle schoolers making sexual innuendos.
Yeah, actually it was like old men making sexual innuendos because there was the old priest of the temple that Rei runs. This is something that's actually done in Sailor Moon Crystal, which is the relaunch of the show that was done in 2012. And this was done as a way to kind of bring it back to the manga, also catch up on all the Sailor Moon hype that always happens. And it was actually a simultaneous worldwide release in 2013 as part of this 20th anniversary celebration. So everybody got it at the same time. So Crystal premiered in 2014, and the episodes were posted on the first and third Saturdays of each month. Kotono Mitsuishi reprised her role as Sailor Moon in the Japanese version, and a third season is planned for, which should be arriving, or actually, I think it already happened in 2017, So in this one follows the manga more closely, but it also, you know that Sailor Moon and Darien are having sex. Like, it's very clear here, and it was not clear in the anime at all, the anime that I watched growing up. And a lot of that is too, because there's a giant age difference between Darien and Serena. That and, you know, America's just not cool with that type of stuff in our kids' television. So they look older as well in Sailor Moon Crystal. It's a completely different style and it's a different narrative, and it really holds to the manga a lot better than anything else. Because the anime did move away from it.
Do they still portray Sailor Moon as like a middle schooler?
Yes.
And Tuxedo Mask as a high schooler?
It's still weird.
How much older are we talking about then?
It's just a middle school and a high school. I don't think.
Well, I meant like you said they portray them. Well, a lot
so
older,
I think it's like, so I think it's like a, I think it's like a 5 or 6 year age difference. I may be wrong.
So they betray them. So are they actually the same age?
They're not the same age. They're completely like they.
But they're still in middle school.
They are in. Yeah, I'm saying they look older.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are they still the actual age that they're supposed to, but they're just portrayed older?
Yes.
Or are they actually 5 years older?
they're portrayed older. They are still middle school students, but the type of animation they use makes them look older. So if you compare Sailor Moon Crystal to the Sailor Moon anime, the style of animation in Sailor Moon Crystal is longer legs, longer arms, which means skimpier clothing, or at least the appearance of it, and their eyes aren't as big. And a lot of the time, eye size in anime is used to, one, denote gender, but also to denote age. So the larger the eyes, usually the younger the character is. Okay. And it's usually female. So the animation style
did makes, you like it
look it? Makes them different. Yeah, no, I really loved it. I thought it was really good. I can't, there's a few, I think there's like one season dubbed and I can't do it. It's so different from what I heard. In the original Sailor Moon.
Yeah, because I think Stefani watched it, and I don't think she finished it because it was just so different. I think it like made it seem like it didn't age well for her.
Okay, yeah, no,
because of all of like the changes.
Well, I think for me, I really loved the manga too. So to see it in that way, I really loved it. But the one change that I hated that they did was they actually removed the Sailor Says. So it doesn't have any of the PSAs. And I wasn't able to figure it out if that was just an American thing that they brought in the U.S. But I loved them and they weren't there. It's also a lot more streamlined, kind of how you were saying Dragon Ball Z Kai is. There's really no filler because it's all based on the anime. So it gets right into a lot of the stuff a lot quicker. So the pacing is a lot different. The content is mostly the same, but the pacing is very, very different from what you would have been used to watching it, you know, in the 90s. Or I guess whenever you watched it in the early 2000s or whatever. So I could definitely see some people not thinking it aged well because it is different. Like just the animation style itself, like I said, it makes it feel a lot different. Because it jumps from the... Because is Dragon Ball Z Kai have a different animation style? Or is it still that same, like, 90s look?
It's just... No, it's just updated graphics, really. Like, SD to HD, okay. Basically. Like, they don't really change anything other than...
Yeah, I'll go ahead and prettier. I'll link it in the show notes. There's this really good video that kind of puts all of the transformations on one screen. Like, into little quadrants. And so you get, like, the live action, the 90s, and the crystals, because there's, like, a long-form crystal episode where it has, like, longer transformations, which have pretty much been memed to death and is one of the reasons people know Sailor Moon is because of their really long transformation sequences. those are some of my favorite things to look at. But, yeah. So this is definitely a complete revamp, I would say, versus just, like, streamlining things only. But I liked it. Gotcha. I can't wait to watch the rest of it. So all this leads into the musicals, which happen in mid-1993, and the first musical theater production based on Sailor Moon premiered then. Oyama starred as Sailor Moon. 30 such musicals in all have been produced, with one in pre-production. The show's stories include anime and spider-inspired plot lines, and plus also some original material. Music from the series has been released on about 20 memorial albums, and the popularity of the musicals is actually what leads to the development of the live-action TV show Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon in 2003-2004. And then it has like 20 video games, there's cosmetic lines, clothes, China just debuted a new Sailor Moon telephone. And now I think ultimately I want to get into why this really long history and sometimes convoluted story.
Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon looks.
It is actually. Awesome, so a lot of those episodes are on YouTube. and there's a specific type of live action that it's called. It's called tokusatsu, and it's like Power Rangers. It's the really overdeveloped, hyper stylized, like, effects and all that type of stuff.
Which is still weird.
No, well, I want to watch this. Because no, this Power is, I want to watch this. I'm glad one of us gets a good, you know, in real life anime.
Well, it's just funny because this wasn't very successful.
Dragon Ball Evolution's terrible.
Was it?
It can't be any worse than Dragon Ball Evolution.
Well, because this was actually made in Japan. Yeah, what did you say?
Yeah, there you go.
I was saying it's just kind of weird that this wasn't actually very successful compared to the Power Rangers, which ends up having, like, tons and tons of shows.
Well, but this, too, like, just happened in Japan. Like, they didn't Americanize it. They tried to. Like, they bought the rights to do it, and then they just didn't do it. So Super Sentai was the original Power Rangers thing, and then the U.S. bought all... Then Saban... Or Saban? Saban? I do not know how to pronounce that.
I was going to go with Saban. But...
Saban? Okay, yeah. They bought the rights to Power Rangers and have just marketed the hell out of it. So.
So you're saying if they came back and did this, they would be just as successful?
Probably not. I mean, like Adrian said, Chris, like Stefani, who loves Sailor Moon, did not really like Crystal that much. So, but it's based on the idea, it's based on the same idea, which is one of my, but why those? So Sailor Moon is single-handedly credited with bringing back to life the magical girl warrior genre within shoujo. And not only that, the idea of teens getting powers and doing things. So, Like I said before, Super Sentai and Sailor Moon borrow a lot from each other. And one of the reasons that this is really important for shoujo is that when Sailor Moon comes out, it shows that you can do shoujo in a different way. You don't just need romance and teenage angst or, like, subplots. You can actually have people saving the world. And you can have teen girls actually saving the world. And having really intense action sequences. So without this, you really wouldn't get a lot of the other stuff. And it is one of the reasons that Powerpuff Girls happens, actually. It was highly influenced by Sailor Moon and this idea of girls using their powers to save everything. Some other stuff, or this trope, which is the magical girl, is Cardcaptor Sakura, as well as Kagome and Inuyasha, which is one of those reasons where I was like, wait a minute, Inuyasha is like this hybrid between shoujo and shonen. So Sailor Moon really makes this a thing, the warrior girl a thing in Japanese culture, and it's definitely something that really resonates with, people who watched it in the U.S. And this leads into one of the main reasons people think that this is important, and one of the reasons I really liked it growing up, and just to put it simply, it's girl power. This is probably one of the biggest but why those, and in the big epic battle scenes, they are constantly being underestimated. They are constantly being told by their antagonists, who are for the most part men. There are some female antagonists, but in the first season, it's a group of guys who just keep saying, this little girl can't do anything. Lo and behold, they can. And one of the reasons that I really think that this is a great example of women empowerment, young girl empowerment, just knowing you can do things, is because every single one of the characters isn't just one thing, and she isn't just one type of feminine. You get a whole bunch of different things. You get the smart girl who is also kind. You get the angry girl who is also really confident and I would also say, in like little scare quotes, like sexual, like she's the most attractive of them. She's the one that really goes out there and flirts, and not in a bad way, but in a very confident way. You have the fighter who is also a really great cook, and cooking is a skill often attributed to really hyper feminine women versus fighting, which is a masculine trait. You have the diva, who is also one of the most vulnerable of them all and deals with a lot of self-conscious stuff, even though she's really in your face a lot of the time. You have the race car driver, Sailor Uranus, who is masculine, and she dresses in men's clothes. She has a short haircut. She has smaller eyes. But at the end of the day, she's still a Sailor Scout. You have the artist, Sailor Neptune, and you have a representation of, you know, life and death and angst in Sailor Saturn and Sailor Pluto. And all of this is important because even though all of these traits stand out when they need to. Like, Amy, the smart girl, gets people out of a lot of binds. Her characteristic and her power is still equal to everybody else's, because you need all these pieces to make a good team. And it shows that you can be empowered no matter what you do. And on top of that, Sailor Moon, actually, who is not in these tropes, is really, really flawed. She eats a lot. She whines. She gets bad grades. She's boy crazy. And she's all these things that you wouldn't think that to tell your daughter to be. And the entire show focuses on her overcoming these obstacles and learning from them and finding her strength, even though she has flaws. So this type of concept is something that you see a lot when people try to do, when people do female empowerment works. So it's masking masculine traits within really feminine bodies. So even though some of these girls do have masculine traits, there's a high emphasis on them being girls, on their jewelry, their makeup, their highly sexualized outfits and cleavage. Because, you know, in those transition scenes, in the transformation scenes, they're pretty much naked and it's a silhouette. And another thing is that the stereotypical role of women in Japanese culture is to undertake romance. And because of that, the prevalence of hyper-feminine qualities, like the openness of the female eye in girls' comments, is actually shown in Sailor Moon. So it's not pushing back too much against, like, these concrete stereotypes within shoujo and within Japanese culture as a whole.
So if Sailor Moon's, I'm guessing you're saying she's the most flawed out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So how is she, I guess, what enables her, or why is she, like, I guess, their leader, I guess?
So Sailor Moon, and this is one of the, this is one of the things that is also about why, though, is because she's flawed, she's kind of the anti-princess, and there's nothing wrong with being a princess. Not saying that. No shade. But she doesn't do things perfectly. And when you see, like, a Disney princess, she has a perfect voice. She has special personalities. Serena is the average girl, and she's kind of thrust into this position of power when she finds, her locket or her brooch that makes her transform. And she doesn't necessarily want it. She doesn't want to be a hero. She doesn't want to have this type of responsibility where she has to save people, because she doesn't know how, and she knows that she's flawed. And so a lot of this is, and this is one of the critiques, are that there are a lot of catty stereotypes, because Rey in particular does not like the fact that Serena is leading the team, because Rey is somebody who has her entire life put together. She's a middle schooler, but you know, she runs a temple, she has great grades, she's responsible.
So is there any characteristic that she has to why people actually do follow her then? Because he found out why someone like Rey would not, but what? Yeah. Why?
It's...
Well, it's just the flawed character. It's the character development over the show that I would imagine would propel people to like Sailor Moon as, like, the main person, where these other Sailor Scouts, Sailor Soldiers...
Either one of those.
One of the two. Are kind of, like, not, like, pigeonholed into, like, you know, having the quality, exactly, and the opposite quality. Sailor Moon's kind of like the every, yes, woman.
Yeah, no.
In the situation. So that's probably why.
Yeah, she has, no, the definitely, draw. Adrian. And I think, like, within the universe itself, the reason they do stay by her even with these flaws is the fact that when she's acquiring all these teammates, because she ends up finding them all and having to convince them to work with her, she pretty much puts her life on the line every time. And so it's that willingness to sacrifice herself for the friends that it makes people say, okay, you know what? You are a really flawed person, Serena. You whine a lot. You argue with me. But at the end of the day, I know that when Zoisite and Queen Beryl come attack us, I want you by my side, because you're going to do whatever you can to protect me and ultimately to protect the world. And she's not a perfect fighter either. Like, she's the farthest thing from Mary Sue. There's nothing wrong with Mary Sue's, But she doesn't just fall into this and do it perfectly. Like, she messes up a lot. But throughout that entire time, it's the classic story of, like you said, Adrian, the flawed character, having a lot of heart and making it through the day. And ultimately, and this is one of the reasons why I think you actually included on your show, on your shonen list, Adrian, is she's very much going through the teaching process and the training to become something in the end, which you get in shonen anime as well as the action. And she's also madly in love with Darien, and it's one of the best romances ever. Fight me. So those are a few of them, and I want to like also point out too that that critique is really, it is a big thing, because there is a lot of, like, as much as there is women lifting up other women, there's a lot of tearing down of each other. Like, they fight a whole bunch, like between Mina, Rei, and so Sailor Venus, Sailor Mars, and Sailor Moon, there is a lot of animosity a lot of the time. That changes as the seasons progress and Serena kind of comes into her own. But, you know, Amy and Lita kind of break it up and are really nice. So, obviously, I've mentioned them a lot, and it the other but why, though, is the PSAs. And these were called the Sailor Says moment, or Sailor Moon Says. And these happened, they were probably about 10 seconds each, and they came right at the end of the show, and it would talk about a lot of the mess ups that happened. So it would talk about Sailor Moon excessively exercising and almost collapsing when she's fighting somebody. And then it would say, hey, you can't do this. If you see a friend doing this, offer them help. If you are doing this, remember you're perfect the way you are and you don't need to hurt yourself. It tackled difficult things like that. It also tackled ideas of, like, domestic violence and, like, interpersonal violence. And it, like, it has this really strong stance of, if somebody mistreats you, doesn't matter how good they look or how nice they are in front of your friends, you don't stay with them. And it tackles these things, also tackles anxiety, depression, inability to believe in yourself. But then it also tackles, like, what to do if your friend cuts their hand in the case of an emergency and you need to wear sunscreen and you maybe shouldn't be jealous of people. So it kind of covers everything. But the reason I really like these PSAs is the way they do it is they make it okay for you to make these mistakes and then tell you how to come back from them and tell you what to look for in your friends and know that, like, you don't have to do it by yourself. Like, you can reach out to your friends, and if you're a friend, you should really reach out to that person. So for me growing up, like, these things are really powerful. And I think looking back, like, they still hold true. And it's something real, because a lot of the time you get these storylines where you have something bad happening and you're watching it as a kid, you don't differentiate. This actually points out that bad thing and tells you how to avoid it, or tells you how to see things, which is one of the things I was very sad with Sailor Moon Crystal. And finally, but also firstly, I already said it was a gateway anime, and a lot of people have actually credited Sailor Moon with bringing bringing shoujo into mainstream bookstores, because after the fandom starts, I guess, developing in the U.S., you get them in actual comic shops. So comic shops start carrying manga because of Sailor Moon in most things, at least according to a cultural anthropologist named Matt Thorne. And it's also, the series has also been credited as the beginning of a wider movement of girls actually taking up shoujo manga in the U.S. and as well as Canada. And Canadian librarian Giles Poitras defines a generation, says that this defines a generation of anime fans as those who were introduced to the anime of Sailor Moon. And It's a different demographic. It's females watching anime and getting really into this high action but also high narrative story. Also, kind of like we mentioned in Dragon Ball Z, it's been translated into a lot of languages. Like, this really has lasting power and punch, like, across the board. Like, this is something that's really fun. And I've said it before. I've said it this episode. I'll say it again. If you like anime, your first one was probably Sailor Moon or Dragon Ball Z. Yeah.
I have a question, Kate. Just because... I mean, obviously, like, demographic reasons, of course, but I'm a little older now, and I'm obviously a little bit more aware of what animes are out there. Why do you think no other shoujo has, like, the reach of Sailor Moon? Because, of course, like, Naruto and Bleach and all of and One Piece and all of those shonens are huge now. Like, they're huge. But I can't think of, like, other than... maybe like Host Club,
yeah,
like the high school host club. And I only know that because Stefani watches it. Like, what? Why don't you think that Sailor Moon has the last, or why did Sailor Moon have the lasting impression where other shoujos, at least over here in the U.S. and kind of North America, how come we don't have that big of a shonen or shoujo craze as we do? Like,
no, that's a really good question, and I think it's because Sailor Moon isn't your typical shoujo, so the majority of shoujo would be like Fruits Basket or the Oren Host Club. It's very romancy, I guess. And Hulu has a whole bunch of shoujo shows on there now. But I wouldn't say that people know them, like you said, like Naruto or Bleach. And I think it's because Sailor Moon kind of straddles that line between shoujo and shonen. It brings in not only female audiences, but there's actually, like, a really huge movement of, like, men who love Sailor Moon or who were boys at the time, but also are just as much drawn to it as the female audience. And I think the fact that Sailor Moon had the ability to do that, that's what made it last, and that's what made it big, is it was able to market to both audiences, even though it was categorically a shoujo aimed at one audience. And, I mean, I'm trying to think. I guess Cardcaptor Sakura would probably be the closest I could think to hitting some sort of popularity. But even then, I always saw Cardcaptor Sakura as like a ripoff of Sailor Moon and never really watched it.
That's how I feel about Naruto, so I feel you. Don't hate me, listeners. I mean, I'm sure it's a great show. I just, you know, reasons.
You've still seen more than I have.
I think you actually had a really good question when we were, like, prepping for the episode, Matt, about blonde characters.
No, I just didn't understand. I didn't know if there was a particular reason, because I looked at the musical, I saw the actors who portrayed the musicals and the live action shows and the fact it was from Japan and everything, but I never understood. I guess another one of the questions of, like, following, I guess, the character portrayed as Sailor Moon of, why was she a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl?
Well,
there's a
lot
of them. I was like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, was Sailor Galaxia in, like, the last one?
Sailor Venus was, chick. But then I think too, like, if you look back to anime,
I didn't know if this was a trend in, like, Japan or how it was.
Yeah, so Naruto's blonde, Ichigo's an orange head.
Well, they've had, like, I mean, I guess it seemed like they have, like, more of a bleach blonde, would it not? Like, that sometimes portrayed in, I guess, Asian culture?
Yeah,
compared to, like, an actual, like, true blonde?
Yeah, so there are two reasons. So Sailor Moon isn't a white girl. She is Japanese, but she does have blonde hair and blue eyes. So there are two reasons. One, there is an obsession in Japan with really, really pale skin and really, really light hair. Half of that has to do with status and the idea that if you're out in the sun and you're lower class, then your skin is darker, your hair, and your hair looks different. And then on top of that, a lot of it has to do with... I'm going to use the word colonialism, and the idea that when the U.S. came into Japan after World War II and occupied it, rewrote their constitution, changed their way of life, the best way to get along in a Japan under occupation was to be more American. And so these ideas of enacting whiteness stuck. But at least so far as, like, trope-wise in anime, blonde or orange hair is used to signify a foreigner. And you end up seeing it a lot in your protagonists, because the majority of protagonists in anime or manga don't really fit in. There's something that makes them other. So for Sailor Moon, she's really flawed. She doesn't have her stuff together, and she's ultimately very different from the rest of the characters. Naruto, same thing. He has a completely different lineage than a lot of the other people that he's training with. Hell, the Saiyans end up going blonde when they go into their Saiyan mode. Yep. It's a way to denote otherness in a pretty homogenized culture, at least like look wise. And that's this type of look from anime with bleached hair or different colored eyes also translates into like Japanese street fashion, where you end up seeing bleached blondes and that type of stuff. So I had to look that up because it was something that I was actually really intrigued by and didn't know the full answer. I just wanted to say colonialism for everything, but that was not the right answer. So, I mean, like, what do you guys think after getting my breakdown about Sailor Moon?
I mean, it seems obviously it was a very popular show, as you said, in Gateway. Some of the storyline, I guess, was a little very confusing to me. It was kind of hard to follow somewhat. Just because of the way they did it.
Which, for listeners, I did write out, like, synopses for each one of the seasons. And after just going into, like, the first one, I realized that it probably wouldn't be best to just do nothing but synopses for 20 minutes. Because it's a pretty convoluted story.
Yeah. yeah, just kind of got confused a little bit on, like, how they did it. The back and forth, I guess, between the time travel versus their future selves. Our future lovers.
Yeah. Well, no. So the they weren't future lovers. They were reincarnated lovers. So there's reincarnation, time travel. They also have the ability to live for a really long time and not age because they're like these moon people. Which somehow, even though they were born to...
this is not Asgard?
Which, one of the plot holes... is even though they're born to human parents and are reincarnations, they somehow still maintain the ability to live really long. And they explain it because they get the power from the Millennium Crystal. It's, yeah. As I'm saying this, I'm realizing how different this story was compared to other things. Because I don't even think DBZ's story was this this everywhere.
No, you get time travel and that's it. you don't get reincarnation. You just get time travel.
I just know from doing the research for the show, I was kind of fascinated, I guess, like, I know we didn't really, I was hoping we touched on a little more, but the musical, like, how popular the musical was. And it ran for such a long time, and then, I think it was, what, 93 to 05? And then, actually, it was, like...
And there's like 20 CDs?
Yeah, and there's high demand for it came back, so now it's actually every year, since 2013, they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Every single year.
I mean, and that I probably should have looked more into the musical. I was so focused on, like, you know.
Oh yeah,
that
was fine. It's just like I just didn't realize how big this, because you know they have musicals for like everything. There's Spider-Man musicals and other type of comic, and I think even Avengers did one. But this one seems
it's not a one-off. Like it was an actual like thing.
Yeah, it's just huge. It's been going on. Like I said, that's almost 30 years.
I mean, I do know, and this. Actually, I wonder if it has anything to do with it, but they're actually doing a lot more musicals. Like, there is a Naruto musical, I believe. Like, they're doing this with a lot of anime, and they're starting to actually turn anime into movies now a lot more frequently. Like, Full Metal Alchemist, that lead character's blonde. But they're but they're also turning that into a movie. Like, the push to get to live action seems to be where everything's going. And we can only hope it's better than Dragon Ball Evolution.
Please.
I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I probably should have done more research on that.
No, I mean, it's fine.
Does Dragon Ball Z have a musical? Because that one's also...
Not that I'm aware of.
No?
I kind of don't want one. I don't need Goku singing. I've seen Vegeta sing in the show. I don't need it.
But yeah, I mean... Unless you guys have any more questions.
I would just say that, and I've watched Sailor Moon when I was younger, so finally loved Sailor Moon. I understand its cultural importance. What I really enjoyed was learning more about the history of it. Like, I had no idea that the creator of the show was female. Like, that's crazy to me, considering the climate and, like, the atmosphere that's going on. Like, you know, Akira Toriyama for Dragon Ball Z is male. Like, all Naruto's male. Like, all of these big animes are male, and to have Sailor Moon as a female creator,
yeah.
I think it really goes to show how deep those, but why those go, because it's a female creator. But I think if you had a male creator at that time in the late 80s, early 90s, I don't think you would have got the show nearly as impactful.
No, I don't think you would have. I don't think you would have had, like, the ability to navigate the characters the same way.
I guess that's why I was kind of, when I asked earlier, because I was like, because you said it's very rare, and she obviously probably had to work, you know, maybe twice as hard during that time frame, since she was, like, the only one, that she really only wanted this one, I guess, linear story that ended after, like, one, I guess, arc.
Yeah.
I was surprised if you got to that pinnacle part that, like, I want to ride this out.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, like, I could see it as being... she wanted to do this for herself. And, like, if you want to do it for yourself, you want that to be your story. You want your story to be done your way. So I can easily be and see, especially if she's being produced, because most of her producers and editors were men.
Yeah,
were pushing her to do different things. And she was like, but I want to end my story my way.
Yeah, I could see that. I guess I'm figuring if you're working, I mean, what, it took, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
And when she didn't, I mean, that's just to get in hit. And then it's not including, like, because she didn't even have no background in this. So I'd figure you want to build a legacy off of this.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I think she inadvertently did. And, like, the very last, but why, though? I know it sounded like we're wrapping up, but this is something that I know has been really important to a lot of my friends. And I wanted to kind of end on this for the But Why Those. This
actually came up in the Instagram?
Yeah, this actually, yeah. So this was, this came up in our Instagram by Instagrammer, but I'm laughing because it's a funny name, of the name Fidel.Casserole. And she explained that one of the main reasons that Sailor Moon was so groundbreaking was not only because its creator went through a whole bunch of crap, but also because of how it had same-sex relationships and LGBT plus representation in a time where that, and in a time now where it's still kind of rare to see it. And so although DIC scrubbed out the gay and lesbian relationships in the American and Canadian versions, like I said earlier, everybody knew it was there. And in the American version, or I guess the North American versions, even though they were best friends, Takeuchi, the creator, says that the only reason that you could have that deep a friendship was because you had to have that deep a love for each other. And so this is really important because it's a really positive relationship. And for a lot of young people watching this, and even people now, like, getting to see yourself, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, whether it's being a woman in something or a person of color, and now, like, seeing yourself in something is probably one of the most powerful things. And specifically seeing yourself doing something that a lot of people tells you that you can't is really powerful, and really sits with stuff. And so Fidel.Casserole pointed out that this was one of the reasons that it has stuck for so long and why it matters. Because not only did it have a lesbian relationship between Uranus and Neptune, but it also had a relationship between Zoisite and Kunzite. And in the Japanese version, they're both male. But in the American version, Zoisite ends up being, like, this masculinized woman versus a feminized man. Beyond that, too, the Starfighters in the last season, they're all male and they end up transforming themselves into females. And one of the Starfighters, Seiya, actually has a really, really big unrequited love for Sailor Moon, no matter what gender he/she is. So, like, when he's in his male form, he loves Sailor Moon, but also when she's in her female form as a Starfighter, she still loves Sailor Moon. And you get this really broad spectrum of representation that you don't see a lot. And I honestly can't think of a lot of anime outside of, like, yaoi or yuri where same-sex relationships is, like, the main driver of the narrative. So I kind of wanted to end on that because that was something we got from a listener. on our Instagram page. And a final fan, but why though, was kind of what we talked about, the broad representation of women and all the types of characteristics we can have. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if you all, I'm trying to think, because I know you've watched quite a bit of anime, Adrian. Can you think of, I guess, any type of like LGBT plus representation in some of the ones that you've watched?
No, not really. I mean, there's stuff like hinted at, but as like blatant, and kind of like, you know, telling you this is what it is. I really don't think so.
Yeah, because like I when I was writing this, I was kind of thinking about it myself, and a lot of the times it's kind of like the butt of a joke when it's done in a lot of anime. And here it was like a really deep part of who these characters were.
Yeah, especially in like this style, because like you said, like there are styles of anime like where that's kind of like a, you know, pertinent part of the storyline, but like for shoujo and shounens, like that's not something that happens very often.
Exactly. So yeah, I wanted to end on a really strong but why though, and I think that was a really strong one.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah. So, okay. As always, you can find us at But Why Though PC on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find me personally at Oh My Myth Brandier on Instagram and Twitter as well. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
And Matt?
You can find me also on Twitter at DatM18, DatM18.
And as always, like, review, like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. And I think I'm going to take this moment to cue Asa to send us out to the death metal version of the Sailor Moon intro song. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.